It is so great to see all of y'all. Some of you we hadn't seen in a while. It's really good to see you. We live in a society that is filled with hype. I was at home the other day, and I have been a forever wannabe golfer. For as long as I can remember, I hit a golf ball this way and then to the right. And I'm watching this thing on the internet, and it promises you that with this club, actually it's a whole set of irons, that you will not ever hit the ball to the right again. And so I really was just kind of doing what we do sometimes. So I said, well, I got to watch the video, you know, on the internet. And I'm watching it. And of course, you get to the end and it's what? Well, it's this many easy payments, and it'll fix all these problems. And I sit there and I go, you know, I don't believe it. I'd like to get them and hit them one time, or two, or three, or four, and see if they really work. Because, see, there's a difference between hype and hope. Hype says what? Just do it. Trust this. We hype everything. We hype golf clubs. We hype actresses. You know, they're going to be the next greatest thing. They're going to change all of the film industry, or musicians, or sports icons, or teens, or we hype everything before they've really even done anything. You know, we're going to coming into the NFL draft. I watched a little bit of the draft combine. They're guaranteeing that these kids are going to, you know, they're going to change outside linebacker play forever. Well, maybe not. They haven't done anything. And I think part of the problem is with Easter, we can't decide if it's hype or hope. How many of you remember the old movie, The Jungle Book? Anybody? I know that's probably a little old. Melissa, you were old enough to watch The Jungle Book. Don't be looking at me like I'm that old. You watched it. I know you. Remember Mowgli? The little boy raised in the woods by the animals? He asked this question, what's the toughest animal in the woods? And the animals kind of gather around, and they come up with this idea that whatever animal steps to the side is the weakest animal. So they begin to talk about the animals that would not step aside. And they talk about the tiger and the elephant and the lions, and they go on and on. And then this old wise owl said, death is the toughest thing in the jungle. It steps aside for no one. Today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all hope, because death steps aside for Him. And He steps aside for us who believe and trust in Him with all our lives. If you have your Bibles this morning, open them to Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter, and I want to read you his account of this resurrection morning. It says this in Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they'd come back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because the words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Here's a man who has lived with Jesus, who has watched all these miracles, who was there when he was crucified, who denied him in the courtyard, and he stands in the empty tomb and he wonders. And I, for my life, would like to know exactly what he wondered about. It says he wonders about what had happened. Does he wonder about the idea that Jesus is not here? Is he resurrected? This is real. It's happened. I can't help but think Peter wonders as he walks away from the tomb. What's going to happen if I see him again? I denied him. What's he going to say to him? How am I going to face him? And see, I think part of our problem sometimes, the problem that turns Easter from hype to hope for us is we never wonder. It's all for granted. It's all a habit. It's all something that we're used to. It's all something we've been doing for years and years and years. And we don't even think about the idea of what happens when I stand before Jesus again. Because the truth is, he's resurrected from the grave. And will it be hype or hope for me when I stand before Jesus? See, and I think if we walk this world and we believe that all this resurrected Savior can do is make me a better version of the old me instead of changing me and making me a new person, then we live like this resurrection is just a bunch of hype. See, there's no substance in a better me. There's hope in a new me. There's hope in a resurrected Jesus. The resurrection is foundational in our lives as a Christian. In Matthew 16:21, the Bible says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised." Do you realize that Jesus wasn't the only one making these predictions? That this death and his death and resurrection had been predicted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago by the prophets Isaiah and Hosea and even by the Psalms. This resurrection is foundational in the fact that the resurrection of Jesus distinguishes our faith from any other in the world. Do you know that no other religion, no other faith speaks of a resurrected Savior? All of the other supposed Saviors in any other religious form are dead. The best that they can tell us about is a fancy graveyard. Guys, the resurrection is foundational to us, to me today, because my God is not dead. He's alive. Jesus is risen from the dead. He walks with me. He lives with me. He redesigned me. He made a new person out of me. And there is hope in the substance of a rolled away tomb and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is foundational to who we are. Romans 10:9 says this, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Did you listen to what that said? It said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is not enough just to believe in the cross. You cannot leave Jesus there. Paul makes it clear here that these two go together. One without the other is not complete. And if you believe it in your heart, it changes the way you live, doesn't it? Carol and I have been married almost 30 years. It'll be 30 years in May. But I love her. It changes the way I act. It changes what I do. Billy and I went fishing Saturday morning. Yesterday morning, wasn't it? Both, matter of fact. So there I was right. But Carol said something to me. She said, Billy doesn't want to fish all day. Because it's been known to happen sometimes that if I get there and I get just a couple, you know what I mean, that I will stay for hours upon hours to get just a few more. And Carol said, Billy does not want to fish all day. If you're not catching them, come home. 10 o'clock, I was back at the house. We weren't catching them. I had two. And I turned them loose, and I'm like, this is... Billy was looking at me like, Dad. He finally said, what's wrong? We're going home. You got two, you know, and I said, yeah, your mom said, don't stay all day. I believe in my heart that I love Carol and that she wants the best. I change the way I act. I do things different. Guys, if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we must act different. We cannot be the same. If there's substance, if there's hope in a resurrection, we live different. But this resurrection is more than a foundation for us. It is something to be believed in. What would it take for you to believe in a resurrection? Would it be eyewitnesses? That's usually the standard that we use for proof in our society still. If we have eyewitnesses, you can believe in something. Listen to what the Bible records in 1 Corinthians 15. The Messiah died for our sins exactly as Scripture tells it. He was buried and that He raised from death on the third day. Again, exactly as Scripture says. Then He presented Himself, now listen to this part, alive to Peter. Peter probably was right to wonder, wasn't he? He's going to see him again. Then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers, all at the same time. Most of them still around, although a few have since died. He spent time with James and the rest of those he commissioned to represent him, and that he finally presented himself alive to me. Paul writes these words some 20 years after the resurrection. He tells us of a number of people who visibly see a resurrected Christ. Do you remember what Thomas asked when he saw him? Show me the hands. Show me the holes. And Jesus held out his hand and showed Thomas. Said what? Put your hands here. Feel them. Put your fingers in them. He sits down and eats with these men that he shared life with. He appears to people that would never lie for him. See, this evidence of the resurrection, the reason it's believable is there is eyewitness upon eyewitness upon eyewitness upon eyewitness. And what we celebrate today is not a wonder, it's not a maybe, it's not a hype, it's hope because it happened and people saw Him. It's the truth. See, there's hope in the truth. How many of you have ever got, either get a paycheck or maybe a retirement check, Social Security check every month or week, something like that? How many of you like that? How many of you have bought a house, let's say, that you may be paying on time based upon the what? The reality, the truth that what? The check is going to be good, right? And if the check is not good, what happens? How many of you would keep working at your job if the check wasn't good? Yeah, no. You'd quit. Why? You don't trust them. There's no truth in what they're telling you. Truth changes our lives. Truth motivates us to do something. Truth is what we live by. Truth is what we have action, what motivates us to action. And guys, this resurrection is truth. See, the disciples, they don't go back to life as normal. If you read in history, they become changed forever. They become these bold witnesses for Jesus. In fact, historians tell us that every one of the disciples went to their death because of their belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Their lives are changed forever because of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. They spend the rest of their time as these bold, active witnesses for Him. And look, they die for this idea. And if it wasn't true, do you not think one of them would have stepped up and said, "It's a lie, we hid the body, I'll take you and show it to you, don't beat me anymore, don't torture me anymore"? I mean, it is easy to get people to confess. How many of you, as parents, ever tried to get your kids to confess to something? If you have more than one child, you know, I can remember my brother and I, you know, we do something, and okay, we'll never tell. We'll never tell. Mom would get us. And it was like, I mean, I thought she was just amazingly smart. You know what I mean? She'd say, "All right, if you don't tell, I'm going to just beat you both. I'm going to beat everybody." My brother, "It's him." I mean, that quick. How many of you remember Watergate? Do you realize that there was Charles Colson was a former aide to Nixon, and he spent some time in prison following the Watergate scandal. And he later became a Christian, and he said the primary reason he believes in the resurrection is Watergate. He says, during Watergate investigation, a handful of men couldn't keep a lie going even for 2 weeks. As soon as the pressure was on, everybody caved in. And guys, if this deal was a lie, if it wasn't believable, if there wasn't eyewitness upon eyewitness, somebody would have caved. Somebody before they died would have told. This resurrection we celebrate today is 100% truth. It is hope, not hype, and it should change the way we live forever. It should make every one of us bold witnesses for the personhood of Jesus Christ and nothing else is acceptable. This idea that it is our job as Christians to post cool sayings on Facebook about Jesus and call that witnesses, being a witness, is a lie by the devil himself. A bold witness goes to every part of their life and speaks the truth of a resurrected Jesus. It is believable, it is foundational, and it is inevitable in the lives of everybody that claims Christ as their Savior. It will happen. I've had people say to me that, you know what? We just can't know if there's life after this life. And rather than studying the Scripture and trusting in the resurrection of Jesus, they are content to roll the dice and spend eternity in wherever may come. You remember the old commercial that goes, you know, it said, you only go around once in life, grab all the gusto you can? That's not true. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, He's going to come back and get His church. He's going to open up the graves, and the people that believe and trust in Him will be raised from the grave to spend eternity with Him in heaven. He has gone to prepare a place for all of those that believe in Him, that we might be where He is. And I'm counting, I'm living a life here that prepares me for a life there. Now, I can't earn a spot in heaven. But because I trust in the hope, in the substance of a resurrected Jesus, it changes the way I live here so that I will be prepared to live with Him in all eternity. It's an old poem that says that the hope of every Christian is that one day that we would live as those prepared to die, that when we die, we might be prepared to live with Him in all eternity. See, what matters is not what people say. It's not what the television tells us. What matters is what the Scripture says. And what we can count on is the person that got out of the grave and lives eternally with God the Father. John 5:28, verse 29 says this, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." Our bodies will be resurrected as new bodies. The natural will become a spiritual body, imperishable. And folks, while most of us think of the resurrection as a positive thing, you have to understand that the resurrection is coming for all of us. Hebrews 9:27 says this, "A man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment." First Thessalonians 4:14 says this, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him." Christ does not remove us from physical death on this earth, but it does remove the sting and power of death, so that when a Christian, when a Christ follower dies, we do not grieve as those without hope. That we trust in a resurrection, in a truth. Max Lucado writes, when it comes to Christ, you've got to choose. You have to choose. Call Him crazy or crown Him as king. Dismiss Him as a fraud or declare Him to be God, but do not play games with Him. Do not call Him a great man. Don't clump Him with Moses, Elijah, Buddha, Joseph Smith, Muhammad, or Confucius. He did not leave that option. He is either God or godless, heaven sent or hell born, all hype or all hope, but nothing, nothing in between. His resurrection today is foundational, believable, and inevitable for every one of us that names Him as Savior. It is the good news, it is the great news, it is the life-changing news for our world right now. And we can't live one more day in such a way that we say it makes no difference. See, I witnessed the hope of a resurrected Savior Wednesday night. Because I walked into an emergency room where an 8-month-old baby had died in an automobile accident. And I walked with the baby's mom and dad into that room. And I watched them as the coroner handed them their baby. And I bowed my head and I prayed with that family. And I spoke of the hope that's coming. I reminded this family in the midst of all their grief that Sunday was coming and that Jesus rose from the grave and that because He did, there was hope that that child would live for all eternity. And in a way that I can't explain, in something that I can't understand, there was a peace that fell upon that room, and I could see hope in the lives, in the eyes of this mom and this dad. And I walked from there into another room with two sheriff's deputies and spoke to the man that hit this family. They told him what he had done. And I could see the look in his eyes. And he looked up at me and he said, "Oh my God, what am I going to do?" And I looked down at this man, and he professed to me to be a believer. And I said to him, "You know what? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "There's hope. There's hope even right now." And we held hands and we bowed our heads and we prayed. And he said, "I can do this with Jesus." And I stood with that man when his wife and his two kids come in. And as they were coming in, he said, "I don't know how to, what am I going to say?" And I looked down at him and I said, "You have a choice right now." I said, "Your kids are going to see in you one of two things. They're going to see hope and faith and trust, or it's all going to be a lie. And you have an opportunity in this moment to prepare your kids for when life turns terribly wrong for them, when they can't explain everything that's going on. And he said, "How do I do it?" And I looked down at him and I said, "We live out the hope of a resurrected Jesus. He's here with us. And the scripture's clear. In Him we can do all things. We can do this." Guys, the resurrection makes us decide, is Jesus all of our hope or all hype? Is He God or godless? But I can tell you this morning that nothing in between will work. So I challenge you today to do just exactly what Peter did. Stand, spend a moment somewhere quiet and wonder. Look inside of your heart reflect on your life and say, is what I'm doing, how I live, is the word that I speak, the faith I live out, is it all, does it say that Jesus is all hype or all hope? Does it tell the world that I think that He got up and walked out of the grave and that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with Him? Or does it tell the world that I think He's a fake? That there's no substance in this person, Jesus. So take a moment today and wonder. Let's pray. Father God, I am in awe. I am in awe of the opportunity to be with You in heaven forever. I am in awe of a resurrected Savior. I am in awe of the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I am forever grateful for the hope that You planted in my life, in my heart. Lord, help us. Help us as Your body, as Your people, to have the courage to be bold witnesses for You, to help the world know that Jesus is the hope of all hopes. That in Him, nothing will ever be the same. Lord, help us to go beyond the hype. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.